International.
L'horaire de notre service en courte est disponible sur notre site internet www.rcinet.ca ou en nous écrivant Radio-Canada International, case postale 6000, Montréal, Canada. Le code postal est le H3C3A8.
Ici Radio-Canada International. Cette diffusion sur 11 865 kHz vous parvient de la station onde courte de la Société Radio-Canada, située à Sackville, au Nouveau-Brunswick. Cette diffusion est conforme à la norme DRM. Renseignez-vous au sujet des récepteurs DRM au www.drmrx.org.
Le sens des affaires.
Notre programme horaire est disponible sur demande par courrier ordinaire en nous écrivant à Radio-Canada International, casier postal 6000, Montréal, Canada, code postal H3C3A8. Ici Radio-Canada International. Cette diffusion sur 11 865 kHz vous parvient de la station onde courte de la Société Radio-Canada, située à Sackville, au Nouveau-Brunswick. Cette diffusion est conforme avec la norme DRM. Pour en savoir plus, visitez le www.drm.org. Écrivez-nous à Radio-Canada International aux soins du projet DRM.
This is Radio-Canada International.
Program schedules for our shortwave service are available at www.rcinet.ca or write to us at Radio-Canada International, Box 6000, Montreal, Canada, postal code H3C3A8.
This is Radio-Canada International. This transmission on 11865 kHz originates from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation shortwave station in Sackville, New Brunswick. A DRM receiver is needed to receive this transmission. Information regarding DRM receivers is available at www.drmrx.org. This is Radio-Canada International.
News headlines. As we just heard in the news, the U.S. military has decided not to court-martial two American Air Force pilots who were responsible for the accidental bombing of Canadian troops in Afghanistan last year. The pilots dropped a bomb on a group of Canadian soldiers despite orders not to. Four soldiers were killed, eight were injured. These are the first Canadian deaths in combat since the Korean War. Thursday afternoon, the families of the Canadian soldiers were officially informed of the decision. Marlee Leger is the widow of Sergeant Marc Leger, one of the soldiers that died. She spoke to journalists about the decision. Here's part of what she said.
I'm feeling a little bit sick. I'm really tired. When you're brought back so many times over and over again, I make 10 steps forward and I end up 10 steps back every time this happens, and I find it's getting more and more difficult.
What do you think of the decision?
As I said, I'm a little disappointed in the decision. It's obviously not the decision that I wanted. It's not my decision to make, and I still have to have faith in the system that it will carry on and the right decisions will be made. As I say, it's not my decision. Do you know what? It doesn't matter what the decision would be today. It's not going to bring back Mark. And either way, I have to continue to deal with it publicly and on my own. And so I don't think that either decision would have given me any more closure than another.
What were you hoping for today?
I was hoping that the decision would be that we'd go forth with a court-martial. But I also understand that the decision to not go that route, a lot of it is based on that if it did go that route and he was acquitted, that would be completely unacceptable to me, and I'm sure the rest of the families as well. So I do understand that.
The senior officer of the two is leaving the U.S. military and received a letter of reprimand. Are you satisfied with that?
I guess that was one of the biggest things right from the beginning, that I felt neither of the pilots should be in the American military. Again, it's not my decision to make. So the biggest thing, I think, for most of us is that steps are taken so that this is less likely to happen in the future. There have been so many friendly fire incidences lately, and families shouldn't have to go through this. It's inevitable, but I think it should be less likely, and I think there should be procedures put in place to try and help this not to happen in the future.
What type of impact do you think this case has had on friendly fire and the attitudes around it?
I think it's had a big impact. I hope it has. I can't see how it could not. It's been so public right throughout Canada and the United States. I hope that the next pilot that is in this situation thinks about what happened and makes his decisions accordingly.
For you, at what point can you turn the corner?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking about it today, and what do I do from here? Well, I pick up, I carry on as I have been trying to. I take what Mark taught me, I find the best that's within me, and I make my mark on the world and try and carry on. That's the best thing that I can do. And I'm starting to take steps and make decisions to move ahead with my own life and be just Marley. And I'm just continually being brought back right to the beginning, and I find it more and more difficult as I start to move forward to come right back to where we started.
When you were given the news today, can you tell me, was it a U.S. military officer who met you face-to-face?
Yeah, I actually sat with the boys, and the Canadian and military officers sat with us and went over.
How you handled this whole thing?
Professional, the utmost professionalism, of course.
Marley Léger is the widow of Sergeant Marc Léger. She spoke to journalists Thursday afternoon. As we heard in the news, 1,800 Canadian soldiers are preparing to leave for Afghanistan to participate in the security operation there. Thursday afternoon, Canada's Minister of Defense, John McCallum, along with the Chief of the Defense Staff, Ray Eno, met journalists to explain Canada's role in Afghanistan. Here's a portion of what Defense Minister McCallum had to say.
This mission to Afghanistan is of vital importance to Canada for two reasons. First, Afghanistan was at the very center of the execution of the events of September 11th, and therefore it is in our national interest to prevent the resurgence of conditions in that country that could permit a repetition of that event. This is in Canada's vital interest, it is in America's vital interest. And in terms of our defense against events such as September 11th, we and the Americans are as one. And I would also remind you that Canada has been directly announced as a target by Osama bin Laden. But second, this is a joint effort on the part of my colleagues, Bill Graham and Sue Whalen, and myself. It is what we have called 3D, diplomacy, development, and defense. It is a multi-focus effort to assist the people of Afghanistan, to provide them with security, which is the sine qua non of progress in other areas, as well as to provide them with humanitarian assistance. In summary, then, I think this is a vital mission because, first of all, it speaks to basic national security interests, the prevention of a repetition of terrorist attacks. And second, it speaks to Canadian values, to come to the aid of a beleaguered nation and a beleaguered people, and to provide them a measure of security and a measure of humanitarian aid. Now, given the tragic events involving the German soldiers, it is clear that this is also a dangerous mission. So a first priority for me has been to ensure the safety of our people. And so I have satisfied myself in speaking to the chief that we have robust rules of engagement. I know as well that our people are very well trained and are well led. And finally, I have made it very clear over a good number of weeks that we will spare no effort and spare no money to ensure that our people have all of the equipment that they need to defend themselves in this difficult position. And as the Chief of Defense Staff will explain in greater detail, we have unmanned aerial vehicles, we have radars, and we have every other piece of equipment that the Army has deemed necessary to protect itself on this difficult mission.
As Defense Minister McCallum pointed out, the mission in Afghanistan is a dangerous one, a fact Canada's Chief of Defense Staff Ray Anou underlined at Thursday's press conference.
It's indeed a dangerous mission. We've seen that. We've seen that in what happened, again, as Minister McCallum mentioned, with our German counterparts just a short while ago. But that doesn't deter us from doing what we have to do in this mission and successfully completing, ultimately, what we have set out to do on behalf of government. We have assessed and we do know the risks. We've prepared our people well, trained them well, and we have given them rules of engagement, robust rules of engagement, strong enough to adequately deal with the hazards and also the situations that we expect they will face. I personally am very confident in the plans and also the preparations that we've done to date and also the remarkable efforts by all members of the committee.
Such factors as the outbreaks of severe acute respiratory syndrome and the single case of mad cow disease will have a major negative effect on the country's economy in the second quarter of the year. Mr. Manley added that the continuing economic weakness of Canada's biggest trading partner, the United States, and the negative effect on Canadian exports of the rising Canadian dollar also are factors. Mr. Manley made similar remarks earlier this week when he lowered his forecast of economic growth by a full percentage point.